sip. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
We're on the Brad and Brit cast.
Yes, we are.
That's another one this week. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here.
Rocking and rolling.
Yeah. I got a hair issue. Sorry.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I found one.
That's news.
All right. Did you bring a list? Were you checking it twice? What are you doing? What do you got here?
I'm just looking at Senator Marsha Blackburn. She's appalled that these people are going up to Supreme Court justices' houses and they're protesting and stuff. She thinks it's the worst thing ever, and these people need to be booked immediately. There we go. I want to be clear on this. I'm not necessarily supporting this because I think you made a pretty eloquent case that you don't hand the opposition material, and that's what this is. This is the unhinged left, and they're blah blah, all of that shit. This is the problem. Now, when you go up and you protest peacefully, which is what these protests have been, at a Supreme Court justice's house, that's the worst thing ever. But again, if you try to attack and kill the president, the vice president of the United States on January the 6th of 2021, that's a legitimate political protest, which is what Republicans have called what happened on January 6th, 2021. I just want to make sure that I'm clear on this, Brad. I want to make sure that I've got this correct.
Well, you're right.
Okay.
And?
Well, I just want to...
It doesn't matter, does it?
No,
it doesn't. Just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's correct.
Yeah.
We've had a bending of the curve in inflation in April, apparently, some cooling off, which is nice. But again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If I'm out there looking at $4.13 for a gallon of gasoline, if I'm looking at $5 for a loaf of bread, that doesn't matter. Oh, great news. Inflation maybe starting to go in the proper direction, right? Right?
No, it's not. But okay, I'll play the game when the large number is instead of 8.5%, which it was last month, it's now 8.3%.
Right.
No. Inflation is not being whipped. It isn't even going in the right direction.
Correct.
And the largest component of inflation, which is housing prices, the ones that have been going up for the last 6 or 8 months, that has not yet been factored into that number. So therefore, it means nothing. It means nothing, Britt. So do not for once. So don't even, I don't even want you to play the game of how come people aren't acknowledging that it's
true.
Peaked and it's on its way down when gas is up. You can't do that. That's a losing hand. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I agree. And I also agree that my entire life and probably your entire life, I know we've been talking about a housing crisis in America and this, that, and nobody really has any good ideas about how to solve the housing crisis. It seems especially to be really awful right now because the people are jacking up rents all over the place. And if you want to try to see if you can buy a place, now the interest rates are going to be punitive towards you. It's very, very difficult. I haven't seen anybody in any major city or even on a local level come up with a solution for the housing crisis. Have you?
No.
Yeah.
No. We're the United States of fucking America. We don't have enough places for people to live affordably.
You can.
It's a sad commentary. It's a terrible indictment of our system. It really, really is. And I'm not here to defend it. It's the old, this is the worst system in the world, except for all the others, right? I don't know.
Well, you get an area where they have, it's a hot area, whether it's Austin, Texas, whether it's Portland, Oregon, Asheville, North Carolina, and it all of a sudden everybody wants to move there, right? And then it happens time after time after time. The people that made the area cool are immediately priced out of it, right? The bohemian folks, the artsy folks, the people who were creating the craft beers, whatever it is, those people immediately can no longer afford to live in those various areas. Nashville, you want whatever area you want to talk about. That happens time and time and time again, right?
Well, I mean, that's one slice of it. But when you look at where housing is more affordable, not as unaffordable as places you've named, not Miami, not LA, not Austin. it's a lot of larger cities. If you want to be in larger in the Midwest, it is Cleveland.
Yeah,
it is Detroit.
Right.
It is places like that, and you know, a lot of people don't want to live there. The weather sucks just to start off. But again, these are questions that, as brilliant as I am, I don't have answers for. I really don't. And you know, we're not even in the second inning of this, I don't think, because there's all this shit over the horizon that has not hit yet. If you think food prices are high now or going higher, they haven't even started up yet because crops aren't growing around the world because of climate. They can't plant shit, or they're getting flooded out, or there's a war, and Ukraine is now sitting apparently on all this, all these crops that they can't move. They, you know, you can't move anything out of Ukraine right now because of the war.
No.
So whatever the, and you know, I'm an out of touch politician. Is a loaf of bread today 50 cents or 75 cents? Which is it, Britt?
Inflation adjusted for 1957 prices? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's about right.
I'm not sure. I can't tell.
Right. So I mean, I expect a lot of staple foods, and this is based on nothing I've read, but just intuitively, I expect a lot of food to double from here and maybe more. And for, oh, stop it. Turn that off.
Yeah, there's your alarm. I'm telling you, you're lying about the double-icious.
Yeah, I'm lying. You know, for our whole life, whenever you've passed a gas station, the price of the gas is, you know, a digit, a decimal point, and then
nine.
Two, right? I'm afraid we could reach a point where they're going to need four digits up there.
Oh, 10
and there
bucks?
There isn't a fourth digit. In other words, I'm saying $10 gas. It could happen.
God.
It could happen.
That's painful.
And then it'll say 0 point, you know, and then if it, gas is $1.24 or is $11.24, it'll say 1.24 because, or somebody will have to put up a cardboard one next to it. It's not funny.
No.
But we just took for granted that even in the worst times, you know, gas would be, you know, approximately what it is. I just think it's Pollyannish to think that this is going to moderate anytime soon. It's not.
No, it takes a while. I think unwinding is like the you know, kind of the word of the year. It's going to take so long for everything to unwind.
We're still winding.
Yeah.
You can't start to unwind until you stop winding.
Yeah, there's no, because it's just the supply chain stuff, I think, is still a huge problem.
And well, because the goddamn Chinese, and I don't mean to impugn the Chinese.
Oh, of course.
But the goddamn Chinese with their, we can't have a city of 25 million people doing anything if one person has COVID. Well, that's it.
What's your message? What's your message to the Chi-Con government? Get out there and make my iPhone. Is make my next iPhone, you bastards? Is that your message?
No, it's
the Chinese government.
No, it's, and this gets to a problem that I want to relate to another story here.
Yeah.
And there are varying degrees of it, depending on what subject you're talking about, but the inability to ever admit that your judgment was wrong, that you made a mistake. And it's with governments, it's with individuals, it's with politicians, of course, it's with you and me, all to varying degrees. And the Chinese government, which is an autocratic group of people who are solely concerned about maintaining their power, or is that the Republican Party in the United States? Anyway.
Snap!
Sometimes I mix myself up here.
Yeah, I think the gerrymandering in China is way less bad than it is.
Yeah. If you recall, a year and a half ago, when we were at the height of COVID growing exponentially, wow, the Chinese have really got this figured out. They locked down a city, it went away, and they're doing great. Yeah. And and everything is open. Remember, cafes were open.
Yeah.
Shopping was going on. And the Chinese model, the autocratic model, well, it's not good for freedom, But boy, in a pandemic, man, it worked well. All right, so then the vaccine comes along.
Right.
Vaccine comes along. And they refuse to deal with the vaccines that we've developed, that Europe and the United States developed, the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, and even the Johnson. They didn't want any part of that. They developed their own. It's a Sinovax or something like that. And it turns out that that vaccine sucks. That never did work as well as the other vaccines.
Why?
But remember, it's the Chinese government. Are they going to come out and tell their people, well, we were wrong?
Yeah, we made a shit vaccine for you guys.
We've got a substandard vaccine. We were wrong. And sorry, it doesn't work that way. So they doubled down, right? They kept giving people. And for the most part, because of the restrictions that they had, they kind of muddled along. But now, at this point, when the rest of the world, which still is dealing with COVID to varying degrees, certainly the United States and Europe, we're still dealing with it, but we're not dealing with it in the way, you know, hospitalizations still remain pretty low.
Yeah.
The death rate has not gone up in concert with the spread that's going on right now around the country, because the vaccines, for the most part, have prevented serious disease.
Yeah.
Although every time, boy, I know you must see this too. Every time a famous person gets COVID, for instance, in the last couple of weeks, a famous person who's gotten COVID is Stephen Colbert. Yeah, right.
Correct.
And so he stopped recording the show a couple weeks ago. Then they came back, and now he's apparently having some secondary symptoms. And oh my God. Wow. Well, the liberals, they thought the vaccine
was
going to prevent them from ever getting it. Ha 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 ha, Mr. Funny Man.
He got 20 shots and he still got it.
Right. Right. No, the actual answer is, he got 4 shots. That did him a lot of good. So
it kept him out of the hospital and out of the morgue. Right. That's what it did for him.
So the Chinese are fucked up because they want zero COVID. They demand zero COVID with a shitty vaccine.
It's not realistic.
Right. Not realistic.
And meanwhile, because this country,
in one sense, you know, we're a disaster. We're at 1 million and we're probably at 1.2, 1.4 million, but we don't know it because people don't report. Right.
We got to a certain point of our vaccinated population, and we've been at that level forever because of all the bullshit and the misinformation and everything else. People, we've just stagnated at, you know, a certain percentage of people like myself and like yourself, who every time we've done the right thing and there's been another opportunity for us, if they said, okay, you're over 50, you need the booster, I went out immediately, boom, got the booster, did what I was supposed to do. But again, there's just a bunch of dumbasses out there who believe that they're being lied to and that Bill Gates is putting a 5G chip in their ass.
Well, you know, it's impossible, Britt. It hasn't been proven otherwise.
there's the inflation chart right there. There's the little teeny dip you can see from April, which is supposed to make a difference. That big deflationary thing right there, that, of course, is, I think that's the worldwide economic crisis is what that is.
What? Right there. Yeah, in 09 and 10. Yeah,
there you go. That's your big dip right there.
Anyway, so my point here is that there are so many moving parts behind inflationary pressures that it's going to take way longer than anybody thought. And that's irrespective of anything the United States Federal Reserve does, and this is my question to the people who very simply think that this is fantastic because Republicans are all going to come out in droves to vote against Joe Biden, who gave us inflation, because it's obviously Joe Biden's fault. Everything is Joe Biden's fault. So, boy, we got to get those Republicans in there. They know how to whip inflation. All right. And it's all Biden's fault. It's all Biden policies that have given us this.
Yes.
And very often you'll get a because Joe Biden shut down the oil industry and doesn't let us produce oil because we'd have enough oil to have cheap gas if Donald Trump was still the president.
Play another song, Mr. DJ. Holy
shit. Doesn't matter, Britt. It it's resonating. People
drill,
don't
baby,
care.
Drill. Here's a sticker on the
gas pump with thanks Biden.
Yeah, Sarah Palin, like, drill baby drill. Let's get a remix of drill baby drill from 2000. You know, whenever. Jesus Christ, really?
Right.
Is that really playing among these people? The fact that Joe Biden has crippled the oil industry.
Well, it's part of it. But
how does that fly?
This is my fear that we may be approaching the Paul Volcker moment. Paul Volcker was the head of the Federal Reserve in the late 1970s and early 1980s, and he was like the Vince Lombardi of Federal Reserve chairman. He doesn't fucking care what you think. Win, baby, win. Winning is everything. And that's it. And he raised the interest rates way into double-digit territory. And you know what? It beat inflation. And we had a crushing recession in order to do that. And I'm afraid that the inaction that the Federal Reserve was responsible for doing nothing in the last year and a half, when they saw inflation was a possibility, when a lot of people were predicting it. Hello, Larry Summers. How you doing, buddy?
They didn't
listen, but that, you know, and they, now it's too late. And so the only response when you're going 90 miles an hour down the hill is to slam on the brakes, which means to raise interest rates and that'll whip inflation. Nobody will be buying houses when interest rates.
So this is your criticism of Jay Powell, as he acted but too late?
Well, you know, I'm data dependent. That's what you're, well, we don't make a move until we get the data. I'm data dependent. Well, you know what? I get that you're data dependent, but I pay you to figure out what the data is going to be before the data comes out. Okay? You don't get to bet a football game data dependent, where you bet after the score comes out, and then you get to lay your
actually, you can
down.
Do
no,
you have to predict. You can do that now. They have dynamic betting. You can actually do that now. But yeah, I get your point.
Yeah.
No, you have to have, in addition to having data, you also have to have a gut. You want somebody with a gut, right?
Yeah. And I know we're Monday morning quarterbacking this real hard right now. And I understand that the last thing that they wanted to do a year ago was to actually induce what they thought might happen, a recession, if they started to raise interest rates while inflation was down at 2%. I get that. I understand that. But you're supposed to be so familiar with the history of these kinds of moves and what's happened in the past that you put that all together and you make a good decision. Whatever decisions they were making, that they were wrong. They're wrong. They put all this money into the economy, billions and trillions of dollars. It saved us from going into a depression 2 years ago.
That's important to say.
But then you can't just sit back and go to your Barca lounger and eat bonbons and hope that everything works out. You got to keep.
Got
to keep on. So it doesn't look good right now. That's
what they're trying to engineer right now, and they're trying to do that. It's that soft landing that they all talk about, right?
Nobody talks about that anymore, Britt.
Really?
It's gone. It's not going to be soft.
It's not going to be soft landing.
There are no soft landing.
It's just a matter of how hard it's
going to be. It's not going to happen.
It's just going to be a matter of how hard it's going to be. Is that what we're looking
exactly.
at?
Exactly.
We're going to see if we're going to have two survivors or 20. Is that basically what we're looking at?
Britt. That's what she said. It just depends on how hard the landing is. That's what she said. Think about it. There's already pain.
Oh yeah.
There's going to be more pain, and it's horrible out there. It's really, really horrible out there.
With the exception of employment. Employment's pretty good right now, right? For the most part.
But nobody cares. No credit. you get no credit for that.
I have a job, but I can't afford anything. The money that is coming in, I'm not able to afford anything. So
that's right.
There's the good news. I got me a paycheck, but I can't afford anything.
Yeah.
And do you have a list?
Oh, yeah, I got a list.
Let me see your list.
I have an obituary, sadly, for a 22-year-old.
Oh, boy.
West Virginia, go with the stereotype.
Uh-huh.
Laura Ingraham really is Mrs. Joseph Goebbels. commercials on Netflix? What the fuck is that all about?
Oh, boy.
Any of those.
Let's do Laura Ingraham. If you're on the Twitter machine, Laura Ingraham's brother, Christopher, quite frequently undercuts her greatly on about every position that she takes on anything and calls her out nonstop. He is really kind of the happy warrior in calling her out on her bullshit. So that's very interesting to find out.
And I don't mean to get personal, but we're going to get personal here.
Yeah.
Back in the day, your mom might call Laura Ingraham a brazen hussy.
Yeah, possibly.
A brazen hussy. Have you seen the list of guys that she dated over the years? Oh, my God.
I used to know somebody who had some pretty good info on the inner workings of the whole D.C. thing, and they said that she might have injured more than a couple of marriages in D.C. back in her time, from what I have heard. I don't know this to be the exact truth, but somebody with some knowledge of the situation said that.
Let's see. Oh, here we go. Keith Olbermann.
Yeah.
She's God almighty.
Hey, she's allowed to have her fun. That's fine.
And by the way, Robert Torricelli, the senator.
I hope she was always using.
Dinesh D'Souza.
Yeah, we know about that one. Well, I certainly hope that there was no unwanted pregnancy out of any of this stuff, because, you know.
Wouldn't that be delightful?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be delightful? On and on and on. All right. So she has on her show the other night this Kathy Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kathy Barnett is 50. We'll talk about her in just a second.
All right.
In fact, the second has gone by. Let's talk about her.
Kathy Barnett. Who is she? What is she? And how do I know her? And why should I know
Kathy Barnett, you don't know her. She's 50 years old, and she is running for the Republican nomination for Senate in Pennsylvania. So that puts her up against the esteemed Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
And the rich guy, Dave McCormick.
Yeah.
There are a couple other people, but they're polling really low. In the last week or so, in the latest polling, Kathy Barnett suddenly is in the game. It is like the Kentucky Derby right now, and she is whatever the fuck the name of the horse is that won.
Strike Lucky, Derby. Strike Rich, right. Something like that. I don't know.
Right. She is moving up, and the three candidates are within spitting distance of each other. 21%, 23%, you know, margin of error kind of stuff. And she was nowhere. She was in low single digits until recently. And her story is compelling until you look about an inch down. She is off the charts Trumpinista. She is off the charts. The election of 2020 was fixed. She's a conspiracy theorist. She's bad news. But she's got one thing going for her. One thing. She is the product of a rape. Her mother was 11 years old when she was conceived.
Good Lord.
So her mother is what, 61? Yeah. She's 50. And she loves to say, oh, I'm not just a lump of cells. Okay, I'm the pro. So.
No, yeah, now that you're in your 50s, no, you're not just a lump of cells.
No, you're not just a lump of cells. So this is a clip from last night. This is Laura Ingraham talking to this Barnett, and listen to the egregious error that she makes, and listen to the very polite way that Miss Barnett corrects the error. Here we go.
In the hotly contested Republican Senate primary in Pennsylvania, there's been a lot of attention paid to two men, Dr. Mehmet Oz and David McCormick. The two have spent tens of millions of dollars on the campaign so far. Now, Oz, as you know, won the endorsement of former President Trump, while Dave McCormick is the choice of former Trump Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and former trade rep Bob Lighthizer. But despite all the money and the political star power, there's now a third candidate who has seen a late surge, veteran and single mother Kathy Barnett. Politico is describing her as an ultra-mega long shot. but that doesn't apply any longer because two new polls have resurging within the margin of error. Kathy Barnett joins us now. Kathy, it's good to see you. You were on with us last week, a week and a half ago or so, to talk about your mom and your own story of life. But to what do you attribute your late surge in this race?
Yeah, and let me just offer just one point of correction. My husband is watching right now. I am not a single mother. We've been married for over 20 years. So I love you, babe. Okay. To your question, Laura, is, you know, we have simply ran a much better race than my opponents.
And Okay. So did you hear?
Yeah.
And I know you did. You heard Laura Ingraham's response when she was politely, very politely corrected.
This will lead to, at the commercial break, this leads to Laura Ingraham berating her staff. Because there's no way this is her fault. There's no possible way this is her fault.
Wait. You're on live TV.
I know.
You make a mistake, and it's not relevant what you're saying yet. It's not relevant. You don't just go, okay, yes, I called you a single mother because all black women never get married and put out kids, right? Isn't that the way it is?
No. Wow. Did you marry a white guy?
Saying what you're supposed to say, which is, I apologize for the air. That was my mistake. Yeah. Right. She can't do it. She can't admit the mistake.
Okay.
She can't admit the mistake. So... I took to the message board here on Mediaite, and here's what I wrote. I said, one of the hallmarks of the authoritarian mind, as exhibited by Trump, is to never apologize or correct mistakes, even if doing so would enhance your credibility and humanize you. Infallibility, or the illusion of it, is paramount. Laura Ingraham, had she been a normal human, would, upon seeing that she'd mislabeled Barnett as a single mom, would have acknowledged the error, corrected it, and said she was sorry. But that's not possible in her universe. And to me, I mean, that's a little tiny moment. But what is wrong with you? What is wrong with these people?
No. And,
you know, when she said at the beginning, oh, we've had you on a couple of course they've had her. If it's a black Republican... with a story that by definition gets to, well, that's why no one should ever have an abortion, because you might grow up and be able to run for Senate, right? I mean, that's the angle there, right?
I didn't realize you had help raising your kids. Would you marry a white guy? Is that what happened?
Yeah. Why don't you throw that in there? And I don't know what the story is when this 11-year-old got pregnant, because that 11-year-old, that happened... Let's see, right before Roe versus Wade.
Oh, yeah.
Right before Roe versus Wade. But when you were 11, you could get an abortion probably in Pennsylvania, wherever she was. That's not the point.
I would hope if you were raped and you were 11, that would be an option.
I've never seen the other side of the ending of this story besides I'm the product of a rape. Well, what happened to the rapist? Did your mother marry the rapist?
Correct.
Do you have contact with the rapist who is your father? How does this work? And by the way, would you deny every 11-year-old now who gets raped the option to get an abortion?
No.
Or should all 11-year-olds be forced to carry their children? That's the question. You have to answer that question.
The government needs to engineer a happy ending for all 11-year-olds by making them carry the thing to term. That's correct. That's exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's the position. By the way,
somebody answered me, and this is great. This guy says, one of my favorite Trump psychological defects was the way he would make a gaffe, then include it in the correction with an and, rather than a sorry I meant. As in, tonight we salute the green and berets, and berets. Right?
That's correct.
Is the guy totally right?
100%.
He's totally right. That's what 100%. You do.
Yep.
And he would think you didn't notice the mistake.
That's always it.
Because he could never say, oh, excuse me, sorry. Let me say it right. He couldn't do it. And it's the same concept. So this candidate, she's as crazy as 4 o'clock on the issues. She's super Trumpy. She's super Trumpy. So that's problems for Dr. Oz, because as phony as she is, and as phony as he is, and as abhorrent as she is outside of her personal story, they might knock each other out. And McCormick, the more mainstream Republican in Pennsylvania, might become the nominee. Who knows? Who knows?
But are you rooting? Because obviously you and I would like a Democrat to have that seat. Are you rooting for Mehmet Oz to get that nomination? Because that campaign looks like a shit show. From here,
yeah. I guess we have to think strategically, right?
Exactly.
You know what? If she got it, I don't think that would help either.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
In fact, because she's a walking advertisement against the anti-abortion movement in a way.
Right.
You can't play this game, because here's what I was thinking of. Okay, so if she lived in a world where she was forced to carry that child, because you can't say an 11-year-old can give consent or can't give consent,
correct,
either to sex or to whether they want to have the baby, right? Correct. It's not just their choice.
It's a medical procedure, so you can't say, yeah, that's right.
Right. But most people, most families would make that choice for that 11-year-old and have an abortion. They certainly would. But if you don't think that that should be the choice of not just a woman and her doctor, but how about a child and their parent,
the family,
and the doctor, and you want the government, you want big government in there to decide, because in all cases, abortion should be illegal. Rape, incest, life of the mother, fuck it. Die, mom, if you give birth. Which, yeah. Let's take a shot. Let's take a run here. If that's true, then you really believe that if you could go back in time, Mrs. Hitler shouldn't have been able to get an abortion and Adolf needed to be born, right? Needed to be born. Because for every Kathy Barnett, who is an upstanding citizen, she's crazy, but she's not Hitler. There was a Hitler, okay? So you can't play the we have to allow them to have the child because the child might grow up to cure cancer or do something spectacular, because you also might get a Hitler.
Well, but yeah, shout out to Kathy Barnett for doing the lump of cells or whatever shit that she said. Yeah, now that you're in your 450th trimester, you're not just a bunch. Yeah, that's correct, you dumbass.
Right.
Speaking of Trump endorsements, we take you now to Nebraska, where the magic ran out, Brad. The crazy ass son of a bitch who Trump endorsed, who apparently enjoys grabbing pussies, apparently didn't make it. And the Trump magic dies in Nebraska. Your thoughts?
Well, it was 1-2. Yeah, it lost in Nebraska,
yeah,
but it worked in West Virginia.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter. The West Virginia story is a nothing in one sense, because it doesn't net the Republicans any extra seats, even if the Republican that Trump endorsed, because it was two guys who were already congressmen. And West Virginia, being the shithole that it is, lost enough population that they lost a congressional seat. So they squeezed it down, and they had two in-office Republicans running against each other for the nomination for the combined district that still exists. So no matter which one of these guys, whether the Trump guy won or the mainstream Republican who represented a district for a long time, he voted for the infrastructure bill. Oh, my God! He did that. And by the way, why would you vote for an infrastructure bill in West Virginia, which, as you know, you've been there, everything's perfect. They need no new road. They need nothing.
Hold that thought, because it's weird that Joe Manchin couldn't find a way to vote for that thing. You know, it's very strange. It's very odd. It's very unusual. Somehow,
Joe Manchin did cut a commercial for the mainstream guy.
Yeah.
So Joe Manchin, the Democrat, who's almost not a Democrat, jumped in to the race. Trump endorsed the Trumpy guy. Manchin made a commercial for the other guy, the guy who's been in office for a long time. I think he was even in line to be the head of a major committee. And the people of West Virginia, they lived up to the stereotype. They're more than willing to vote against their own interests. They're more than willing to vote against the guy who knows how to get shit done. He's been doing it for many, many years in West Virginia. They don't want him. They want the Trumpy guy. They want the Trumpy guy, and they got him. The guy who's running to, you know, get revenge for what happened in 2020.
There he is. Alex Mooney. Alex Mooney is the name of the guy that Trump backed who won the primary over David McKinley. That was the mainstream candidate you were talking about that Joe Manchin did the commercial for.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're...
So, that's not even the biggest problem in West Virginia. Opioids is not a problem. Shooting themselves in the foot. That seems to be the number one problem in West Virginia.
They're all over it. They're all over it. So,
but the Nebraska situation where the guy appears to be like a serial pussy grabber, even among fellow Republicans, by the way, he's grabbing a lot of Republican women's pussies. That guy took a dive. That guy didn't work out for him in that GOP primary for governor in Nebraska. So are calling it 1-for-2.
Yeah.
And then if you put the J.D. Vance victory from last week, then Trump's 2-for-3, really, in the past couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, but we'll see whether that matters. We'll see whether J.D. Vance can go all the way or whether he's going to implode and do something just so beyond the pale that he'll get Nebraska'd, okay, in the end. Everything I hear is, he's going to crush Tim Ryan. Oh, it's not even going to be close. Well, okay, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. Sure. Maybe that's true. Maybe not. Maybe Ohio is a lost cause now. Because obviously if they vote J.D. Vance in, Ohio is a lost cause. It's just there's no coming back. There's no coming back from that. Because Tim Ryan has all the working class credentials, the roll up your sleeves, blue collar, Eastern Ohio cred that you would ever need. Just like Sherrod Brown, the incumbent senior senator, has. And if the majority of Ohioans who vote in November vote for J.D. Vance, a complete fraud, a total phony, the worst of the worst, a guy who spoke the truth 6 years ago and then decided truth will never get you elected in this country. I'll be a Trump suck-up. That'll get it done for me. Then so be it. So be it, Ohio. All right. Anything else here?
Netflix. We want to talk about the Netflix situation.
Yeah. Well, apparently the commercials are going to start on Netflix by the end of the year now.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the year. And it's a surprise to no one. And does it bother? No. No. We've lived in a world of commercials our whole life. You know, the streaming, no commercials, everything is paid for with subscription money. That's such a new model that we almost had no right to get used to it and think it was going to rule forever and it was the end of commercials. It was never going to be that way.
It's so hard. If you've ever dealt with like watching Hulu without commercials, then you've gone back to watching it with, it is so hard to deal with the commercials on any of Peacock has the same thing. They've got a tier where, you know, you can add commercials in there and stuff. It's really difficult.
Oh, I know. We watch the Hulu with the commercials. You know what? It doesn't bother me that much because it really does help with the bathroom breaks.
It's dreadful.
You stop it anyway, right? When there aren't commercials and you go to the bathroom in the middle. So, yeah, you got to time it right.
I find it terrible. And I'm really thinking when they start cracking down this password shit, which I think is a huge mistake, I'm thinking it may be time for me to jump off of Netflix. I'm not really using the service as much as I used to, for sure. I like it. I don't love it. And I could probably do without it right now, honestly.
Well, are they going to have a no subscription fee at all commercials tier, or is it going to be you still pay, but you're going to get commercials too, and they're going to say, this is how we keep the price low?
That's the Peacock model, is that they've got one tier that's way cheaper and you have commercials on there. So I think that's probably going to be the way.
They're not going to go to a zero.
I don't think that's the plan. Okay. At all. I think they'll have, you'll pay some, I don't know, substantially half or whatever, and then you'll get the commercials. I don't know. And you know, of course, the caveat for that is that they're also touted as being getting into the sports game, getting into live sports, because everybody's rushing to get into live sports as much as they possibly can. So at some point in time, why not Netflix? That's one of their things.
Well, they're not in the financial position to really do that. They're not in the financial position to blow several billion dollars instantly to get NFL games or anything of that sort. And those who have done it, Apple and Amazon, guess what? They are.
That's just the beginning, though. There's going to be way more. It's not unusual. I think every streaming service that you could possibly think of is going to have some exposure to the NFL product within 4 or 5 years. Any of the major ones you can think of is probably going to have some sort of exposure.
Once it's spread out, it's actually hard to keep track of where games are.
I agree.
And you know me and my relationship with watching sports throughout the year. I'm not an intense watcher. And for me, for instance, because I have the cable bundle, I still have it and I love it. But for me, there's plenty of baseball and there's plenty of NBA for me on the NBA network and TNT. You know, it's just fine. I don't need more, and spreading it out to Apple TV Plus, which I get, and Amazon Prime, which I get, and Netflix, which I have, is not going to, I guess all it's going to do is up the amount of money that the NFL collects, because the more competitors they have for the product,
there's more bidding. That's correct.
Everybody has decided, and it's been decided for the last 50 years, it's a must have property. And that was back when there were only three bidders. Now, if there's 8, 10,
What they've been banking on, especially from the National Football League standpoint, as gambling becomes more and more widespread, is that it's the game of gambling. More money is spent on gambling on football than anything else, and more people are going to be able to go to the app and gamble on stuff.
It's so nuts. I was watching early this morning, don't ask why, but I was watching tennis, live tennis from Rome, and it was the great Rafael Nadal against Greensboro's own John Isner. And I was shocked. They took a commercial break and they came back, and up on the screen were the odds for you to be able to bet right now,
Over at DraftKings, go over to DraftKings.
-4,000 and Isner was +1,000, which I don't even know what that meant. Obviously, you know, you win more if Isner can come back from getting crushed by Rafael Nadal.
Exactly. But
during the match, you can run it, I guess, and make bets as to what the outcome is going to be. And obviously, the odds change the longer you get into the match.
That's correct.
I'd never seen that before. Never noticed it before.
That's going to become way more prevalent. I mean, DraftKings has staked out a position. BetMGM, all of the big guys are in there. And that's only going to become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, it is mind-blowing, because for years and years, you know that the NFL had really said, no, we're not. Don't ever. We go back to those Jimmy the Greek days back in the early 80s when he was not allowed to tell you what the line was for a game. He was just not allowed to.
Dinosaurs roamed the earth then, Britt. Dinosaurs roamed the earth.
And you had an obituary for us as we close out.
Yeah. The obit is for the iPod.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see? They're finally burying the iPod forever. Finally. They've had a couple different iterations over the years. And, of course, the iPod was long supplanted just by the iPhone for most people. So you didn't need a separate device, but I think the obituary, the eulogy is that this is the thing that started it all. This was the watching one.
There's a pretty famous episode of The Office where Michael Scott, the Steve Carell character, goes overboard and he buys a $400 video iPod for the guy in the office that he has a crush on. And I think it's pretty much become accepted history of that show that the video iPod was very important to the success of The Office, because people would download the episodes and they would watch them. That was one of the first TV shows that you would actually watch on your video iPod, whether you were on the subway or whether you were doing whatever you were doing. And it helped that show kind of become popular in that kind of new frontier of technology back in those days when, again, the dinosaurs roamed the earth. All those years ago. I think I've got an iPod back there if you want to look at it.
Hang on a second. Give me a moment. There's one back here.
All right.
Yeah, there we go.
There's an iPod right there.
Was it in a drawer? Yeah. Was it in a drawer?
Yeah, it's just sitting there. I think I bought that off Craigslist.
Now, what iteration is that?
It's not a Nano. This is going to be like the second one of the third generation of iPod, and there's not video to it. It was just audio. Back in the day, that's how we did it, kids. I mean, there's a generation. There's also, you know, there's like young kids today that have they don't really even have a concept of this.
Yeah. Well, why would they?
Exactly.
No, but why would they?
This is like an 8-track tape to some people, right? To some people, this is exactly what that is.
Yeah. They wouldn't know. And you know what? Good for them. They don't need to know.
No, they don't.
They can live with life. That's one of the reasons I love watching old movies. I love watching a movie from the 1950s to see the technology being used.
Yeah.
Not gratuitously. It's just, it was part of life. It was in the movies then.
Yeah.
And you can see, or you do see the price of gasoline when they're driving down the street, and it'll be 36 cents or something like that. Okay.
What gets me on old movies and stuff is watching people drop quarters into a payphone. I always get a kick out of that. That's what we had to do back in the day, guys.
Sure. Now, I know you, let me tell you something you don't know. Superman used to change into Superman in phone booths sometimes.
It's unbelievable. It's not true.
It was unbelievable how he did it.
Blowing my mind.
I can't figure out how he did it.
Now he can't change anywhere because there's no phone booths.
Yeah.
That's why there's no Superman to save us. That's why we have to pay $7 for a loaf of bread.
No. Oh, that's why the Marvel thing became so big. Superman ran out of places to take off his clothes.
Captain America can change anywhere. Damn it.
Yeah.